Hello and welcome to another episode of the Best Lifing Show with Be Unique. My name is Julia Brodska and I'm here with the wonderful Emily Saunders today. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Great to have you back again.
Oh, it's great to be back. I love it here.
Me too. So for those of you who don't know, Best Lifing is a holistic health and wellness company. And we've been doing this podcast for about 12 weeks now with Be Unique. And we're just absolutely loving it, coming up with different topics every week and different guests for you guys. So if you have any topics that you want to request, please let us know in the comments, or just write to hello@bestlifing.com.
Ooh, I love that idea.
Yeah, then we can have more exciting topics and we can do what you guys want to hear. So what have we got on the agenda today, Emily?
So today we're talking trauma, but more specifically, how to move past the pain with Best Lifing.
Nice. So we all experience pain in our lives, don't we?
Yes.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about that and what you can do when you experience this pain.
So let's explain a little bit what trauma is first before we delve in deeply.
Absolutely. Right?
So basically, it's your body's natural response to a terrible event happening. You know, immediately after the event, you're in shock, you're in denial, and that's typical. But there are some long-term, you know, reactions too, like flashbacks or strained relationships and sometimes even physical symptoms like headaches or nausea.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely had those. So what's some reasons that we could go through trauma?
So some different types of trauma. You know, the typical one, a breakup.
Yeah, definitely can be traumatizing.
Yeah, it can be very traumatic. It could affect, you know, the way you view relationships, and it could also affect, like, your guard that you have when you start to date new people.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean?
Putting up a guard, that's definitely not in people's best interest sometimes, I agree.
Yeah. Another type of trauma is death.
Mm-hmm.
That could be very traumatizing for a lot of people.
Definitely. Things like a car accident as well,
mm-hmm.
or maybe being a victim, of something like a robbery or abuse, things like that. So that's all the types of trauma that we're going to specifically focus on today. But of course, there is plenty more things mm-hmm. that can cause, or situations that can cause trauma. Let's talk about a bit of a personal example. What's your personal traumatic story that sticks out to you, Emily?
So something that like really sticks in my mind for trauma, I think it just happened to stick there because it happened when I was younger, was when my parents got divorced. So I was about 10, and all of a sudden, you know, my parents start sleeping in separate rooms in the house, and I'm just like, what is going on? Mm. I don't really understand. And I remember going up to my dad and asking him, Daddy, are you and Mommy getting divorced? And I just remember seeing his face, like he was so hurt. But, like, this whole thing just affected me because, you know, they didn't really talk to me about it. It kind of just happened, and they never really, you know, sat my sister and I down and said, you know, Mommy and Daddy, we still love each other, but we're not going to be together anymore. That's kind of the conversation that you expect when your parents are getting divorced, right? But
yeah.
I didn't get any of that. So for me, that whole situation just, like, really, like, fucked me up. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah, whatever. I'm sure they've heard it before.
So it was just kind of traumatic. I mean, for me, I'm at the point in my life where I've moved past it. And, you know, for myself, I really do believe in love. I really do, you know, feel like I'm going to find that person that's, you know, going to be there for me for the rest of my life. And, you know, this specific event in my life shouldn't or it can't alter, you know, my perception of, you know, what I want for myself. So, yeah, that's really it. What about you, Julia? What kind of personal example do you have for trauma?
Mine, it was just before COVID, actually. I was working in Atlanta, and where I'm from, I'm not used to this, so I know in America, you know, this is quite common. While I was out in Atlanta, I used to drive my boss's car, and one day we had a big presentation. There was over 300 people there, and I'd spent weeks and weeks preparing for it. It was one of our best lifing sessions, one of the biggest ones that we were doing. And it was a two-day session, and this was day one. And for the day, we also organized, you know, film equipment. One of my friends was coming out with cameras and recording the whole thing. And, you know, we had lights in there. We had laptops and all these things in the car. Anyway, had a long day of teaching and then, you know, recording and everything. It was a really full-on, jam-packed day. And we decided to stop for dinner at a sushi restaurant just right across from my house, like 1 minute walk, one block. We parked the car right outside the sushi restaurant. It was probably about 7 o'clock at night on a main road. So didn't think anything would happen to it, but we were so exhausted from the day. We left all our stuff in the car. And then what happened was when we came out, the windows were smashed and everything was gone out of the car. There's probably about $7,000 worth of laptops and cameras and just, you know, gear altogether that was in there. Not to mention the irreplaceable things that, like my course, which I didn't back up on iCloud or anything like that, and also all the footage from the day. So for me, that was really traumatic, like apart from obviously the cost involved and, you know, the value of repairing the car and the things that were in there and the things that I couldn't replace. One of the really like horrible things that I was feeling was I felt really violated. You know, I felt like all this stuff was really taken from me, and it was very scary. I didn't feel safe walking around the streets and being in the house by myself. I started to feel really on edge just from this feeling of being so violated and just having everything like taken from me. So in such a obvious place on a main road at such an early time at night, right outside where we were having dinner, which had we had looked, probably would have seen it happen too. So that was my traumatic recent experience, I would say.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, everybody handles things differently. I think it's just about then identifying how you feel. And really realizing that, yep, you've gone through something traumatic. So one thing traumatic for one person may not be traumatic for another, and, you know, vice versa, obviously. But it's about putting some steps in place. So let's talk about what do we do personally. Emily, what do you do personally to sort of move past, you know, the pain and the experience that has happened?
So for me, I know recently I kind of went through a breakup, and in order to like help myself get over it, I did a lot of yoga. I remember texting Julia, I'm like, I'm just gonna do 5 yoga classes today, like don't talk to me.
I do remember that.
Yeah, but I do a lot of yoga, you know, the practice of practicing mindfulness. Mm-hmm. For me, when I'm just like cluttered in the head is the best thing that I can do for myself, because it really just, you know, grounds me and like centers me back to reality, and just, you know, as a human being, just like overall makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. Mindfulness for sure.
Yeah, I also love bubble baths. So I was looking at houses recently, and like one of my biggest qualifications, I realized, it has to have a really nice bathtub.
Yeah,
I just love bubble baths so much. For me, it's like the best me time, and I can sit in there and like just, you know, like be happy. I don't know who doesn't love bubbles and some hot water, but it just makes me so happy in there.
Yeah, definitely a good way to relax, have some candles going as well.
Sometimes
love
a glass
that.
Of wine.
Yeah, nice glass of wine. Yeah. For sure.
And then something else, I don't know why this helps me, but when I'm decompressing, my favorite thing is to just lay in bed and do absolutely nothing and watch Netflix.
Yeah, have a bit of a binge. Why not?
Yeah.
Get your mind off it. You know, exactly.
It's
off.
Distracting for your mind, you know? And, yeah. I don't know about what I love those.
Well, in the case of that car situation, I just wanted to go surround myself with some good people who had been through what I'd been through. So I actually caught a flight from Atlanta to New York and met up with some girlfriends, and, you know, we just spent some time doing nice, healthy things and just accepting and, learning from it, you know, and just, you know, getting some perspective out there. But aside from that, you know, we did things like go to the gym, yoga as well, for sure. We just went for walks and distracted ourselves with the beautiful sights of New York. So that was definitely one thing that I would do. So if, you know, if you can, go find some friends and just go do some fun new, try something different, fun new different things that are going to sort of take your mind off it. A lot, like one that goes hand in hand with Netflix is reading a book. I like to sit down and just read a book and get into that and zone in. Again, just a nice, easy distraction. I do find that doesn't necessarily, distracting yourself does sort of just postpone dealing with that trauma sometimes. So definitely the mindfulness approach is probably a better way to attack it quicker and just really get zoned into it. And really just understanding if you can't control it, you know, just sitting on it, waiting on the lesson. And I like to do that through meditation, definitely. And then a couple of new things that I've been trying out when, not necessarily in a trauma situation, but just when things are feeling hard or confusing or complicated, or you're dealing with any sort of pain points, is just going out there and trying different forms of, you know, group meditations and seeking out different types of yoga. I've come across Kundalini and
Kriya.
Yeah, and Kriya as well. So some different types and different strategies that other people are using, and they've been quite powerful in releasing some of those pain points or pain, negative energy or negative thoughts that we sort of hang on to. So that's my kind of tips on moving past pain or trauma and things like that. Really just facing them head on and trying a few different things and distracting yourself in healthy ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, Emily, so tell us, what are some things that you definitely shouldn't do when you're going, you know, through a traumatic experience or
pain? So, yeah, there's some things that you definitely should avoid after trauma. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things is don't bottle up your feelings. You know, you're going to feel alone and, like, no one understands you. But at the end of the day, like, you're not the only one that's ever experienced anything, you know? Other people have gone through things. So don't bottle up your feelings, you know? Strong feelings are natural. Don't be embarrassed about them. Bottling them up can only make it worse, and it can really just damage your health overall. Let yourself talk about what happened and, like, just tell people how you feel. You, like, even if it's you're too, like, scared to go see a therapist, talk to your friends about it. Talk to your mom about it. Just say it out loud. Bottling up your feelings is really just going to hurt you.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Bottling up your feelings is one of the more dangerous things you can do, especially because it holds you back from moving on.
Yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, if you do bottle up your feelings, then one day you're just going to explode.
Exactly. That's what ends up always happening, right? We just lose it.
Mm-hmm. And then you just go psycho.
Yeah.
I think something else important that you shouldn't do is, after a trauma, is, like, take on too much. You, like, being active, you know, it can take your mind off what has happened, but sometimes you just need time to think and go over exactly what happened so that you can, you know, come to terms with it. Take some time, you know, to get back to your old routine and just, like, focus on yourself for a little bit. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And another big one is don't drink or do drugs to make the pain go away. That's just going to spiral you down. It's not going to help you long term. It might put out, you know, the painful memories for a while, or it can block it out for a little bit, but all you're doing is just prolonging yourself coming to terms with what's happened, and then you could potentially be causing yourself a whole new world of problems by really heavily relying on that as the solution. Now, don't get me wrong. There's been times where, like, for example, with that car accident situation or when I went through a breakup, mate, I'll get on the drink, I'll have a big night, finish it all off, and then wake up in the morning and go, look, we can't get too hooked on this path. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we're focused on, you know, finding a healthy way to cope. So mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Get it out of your system and, you know, keep it moving. What else would you say?
I think something really essential is, you know, don't try to make too many big life changes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
After going through trauma, you know, try to put off any big decisions. You know, at this point of your life, your judgment is not going to be at its peak, And yeah. you might make choices that you're going to regret later.
I totally agree.
So, you know, take advice from people you trust. You know, Julie and I do that. If we're going through something traumatic, she's like, should I do this? I'm like, no, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I love that. You're being
crazy.
Exactly.
This is not the type of situation you want to be doing that.
Exactly. And sometimes you just might want to sit on it and wait. Wait on the lesson. Just listen to your friends and take their advice. I can definitely agree with that one, Emily. Sometimes when you're in the state of, you know, feeling that flustered and in that chaotic, those chaotic emotions, I mean, you just make these bad judgments and bad decisions. And yeah, we're good at that, holding each other back and going, listen,
that's a bad idea.
Yeah, let's take a few deep breaths.
Let's do some breathing exercises.
Yes, that might help a little more. And I always like to say, just sit around, wait on the lesson. There's no rush for anything, you know, just let it all come to you naturally. Let it all align.
Yeah, in the way being that there for each other is just really going to help your well-being in general.
Yeah, I love that.
So what are some other ways, Julia, do you think that you can help people who have been through trauma?
Yeah, I love that question. So you got to be there for people. I think that's number one. And by being there, I mean like actually being there. Don't just say, oh, I'm here if you need anything. You know, be there for your friends, the people that you care about. Be available. Put down, you know, something that may be less important to make time for that person and really go out of your way if you know that they're going through a traumatic experience. Find a way to be there for those people. Sometimes it can just even be helpful to just spend time with that person. You don't necessarily have to talk about it and deal with what's going on then and there. And, you know, this might be helpful if you don't know what to say. But, yeah, you can just sit around and have a good time and try and get distracted in a healthy way together. But just make sure that you're there to listen and, you know, visit them as often as you can. Look out for them. Look out for each other. I think that's super important. Mm-hmm. And when you're being there, it's super important to be ready to listen. So, you know, they might want to talk about what happened and you want to actively listen, but don't pressure them to talk if they don't, you know, if they're not ready or they don't feel like talking. Just let them know that, they can take it at their own pace, and when they're ready, you're here to listen. Mm-hmm. Now, listening is super important, that, you know, we're doing more of the, open ears than open mouth, I would say, because I think sometimes, you know, we jump in, and I mean, I do this a lot myself too. We jump in and give all this advice, but sometimes that's not even needed in a mm-hmm. situation. Sometimes if they're asking for it, yeah. But in other cases, it could just be they just need someone to talk to and just to let it all out.
Right. For me, when I'm listening to someone vent, something I like to think in my head, I was like, all right, is this person looking for comfort or are they looking for solutions right now? Like, do they want me to just sit here and listen and comfort them, or do they actively, like, want me to give their advice? But I think that's just, like, situational. You can kind of gauge where your friend is in that moment and decide for yourself if, you know, what direction that you want to go in.
Yeah, I love that. And another thing I've actually seen done before, which I think is really, really helpful, is just asking if you're not sure and you can't sort of gauge whether they want your advice, just say, would you like some feedback on this, or, you know, would you like my opinion on it? And ask for permission before you go ahead and give your advice. So that can be really helpful,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because sometimes people just want someone to listen to them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But, like, you can't also pressure them into, you know, venting to you. If they're ready, they'll come out when they're ready. But if not, just sitting next to someone could be super helpful.
Yeah, and just change the vibe. Go, you know, go for a run or go for a walk out in the city. Just look at the views at the beach, have a swim, whatever. Mm-hmm. Do something productive that's going to be taking their mind off it. And then the next one would be, if they do want help, offer some practical help. So, you know, they might be struggling to look after themselves in a way as well. I know that when I've been in some bad traumatic situations, you know, a long time ago, I struggled to get out of bed and even have a shower. Like, I wasn't looking after myself.
I've totally been there.
Yeah.
You neglect eating. You have no appetite.
Exactly. And so that's where, you know, sometimes you do need to help your friend get out of bed, or your family member get out of bed and really start making some changes. Mm-hmm. So
just feed them, you know.
Yeah, offer some help, maybe clean with something, prepare a meal for them. Just try, you know, do your best to try and get them up and moving and realizing that it's not the end of the world and they can come back from this. It's absolutely possible. It's just a matter of, you know, doing a bit of work to get them. All right, so let's talk about how at Best Lifing we help people with trauma and, you know, dealing with different types of pain. So we look specifically at the seven areas of life, and, you know, these a traumatic moment or a painful situation can fall into any of the seven. So the seven areas of life are social, physical, spiritual, relational, financial, intellectual, and vocational. And through our framework, we teach and we help people, you know, find different steps. Now, of course, it's going to be different depending on what the trauma is. But basic things is we always start with where is the person at and where do they want to be. So usually any anxiety or any stress or form of negative experience, it comes from a place of standing in one place but wanting to be in another. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so once we can fill that gap, or even just identify where we're standing compared to where we want to be, we can, you know, create a plan to fill in that gap. So that's one of the big things that we work on at the beginning. And, you know, if you're at home listening, I suggest that you do that first. So write yourself a list. Where am I right now in the seven areas of life? Okay, so where am I socially? Am I happy? Am I fulfilled with the people that I surround myself with? My relationship, my finances, you know, and so on. Figure out where you're standing in those situations, and then you want to figure out where you want to be. So how much do you want to increase your financial wealth by? What does a perfect relationship look like to you? What does your physical health look like? How many times a week would you want to exercise as opposed to what you're doing? So once you can figure out where you're at versus where you want to be, you can then create a plan to get there. So obviously, if you want to lose some weight, you're going to say, I want to lose X amount. Now we're going to break that down into sort of smaller, manageable chunks. And, you know, what does that mean? Is that 30 minutes at the gym a day? Or for me, for example, it started with just 30 minutes walk a day. I was pretty overweight, you know, just a bit over 5 years ago. And for me, I couldn't go to the gym. I'd never been to a gym. I couldn't run if I wanted to. So it's about where you're at and making sure that you're starting off realistic.
Right. And then, so what we do is we just kind of use all of our experts and come up with a plan for them. So, you know, we'll get our nutritionist, our physical trainer, the yoga expert, aka me. we'll teach you gratituding and journaling and meditation, whatever they need to create a plan that's going to work for them.
Exactly, and implement that plan every single day.
Exactly. Keep them accountable.
Exactly. And so we do weekly meetings, whether it's virtually or in our office at Miami Beach. We do weekly meetings to see how you're going, and, you know, we spend about an hour discussing where you're at and then giving you new tasks and topics to work on and learn about, you know, and we have a whole online course and program and stuff with that as well. So if you're interested in that, please reach out. Again, you can just email us at hello@bestlifing.com and we can put you on your path to that. Or you can implement some of this stuff at home. Happy to send you a free workbook so you can just follow along and do it yourself if you wanted to do it that way too.
Okay, so we've obviously done Best Lifing for a while.
Yeah, we do it every day.
And here are some things that you're going to expect to feel during and after the program.
Within just a couple of weeks of, you know, meeting with us and getting yourself aligned and starting these processes, you'll start to, you know, feel a lot more direction, a lot more alignment within yourself. And I do these practices myself every single day. Like just recently, I was going through, you know, a bit of a time where I was in between, like, moving houses and ending a relationship and things like that. And in that time, I really had to zone back in and focus on the basics and start to really like do my own best lifing practices, you know, this whole framework again. And I truly believe in it because that's some of the things that, you know, got me back up to like that high energy, realigned, focused, and really zoned in on what I'm doing and where I'm going. What about you, Emily? What kind of things do you feel when you sort of, you know, do your gratitude practices and your other best lifing practices that we incorporated, you know, into your life?
I think for myself, I just feel like I have a sense of what I want for my life. You know, I have an idea of what my goals are and essentially what I need to achieve those goals. You know, I have like all the steps laid out in front of me, and it just makes me feel like I've got it together, you know, like I know what I want, I know what I'm going for, and this is how I'm going to achieve it.
I love it. And how fun's the celebration piece when we start ticking off the dream board?
Oh, that is a really good feeling. Yeah, for sure.
If you guys missed it a couple of weeks ago, Emily was telling her great manifestation stories. You should totally listen to that episode.
Yeah, which episode was it?
It was two episodes ago.
Maybe three.
Oh, yeah, three. Yeah. All right, guys. So that pretty much brings us to the end of today's episode. If you want to, you know, follow us on Instagram or reach out to us, it's bestlifing.com or at bestlife.ing.
On Instagram.
Yes. Check us out. Give us a follow. Share with your mates. And we hope to see you again soon.
Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for today. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed the Best Lifing Show and you want to get in touch,
you can find and follow us on all social platforms or visit our website, bestlifing.com.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave a review.
Till next time, mates.
Stay blessed and best lifing.